All right, praise the Lord. Well, Penny and I and the cats, we welcome you to our home. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just take a moment to reestablish the kingdom of God in this place. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Father, for your forgiveness. As we have confessed our sins to you, we thank you that you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we do now even reestablish the kingdom of God in this place. Thank you, Father. Alleluia. Healing School, semester three again, and tonight we're going to be looking at avoiding the enemy's traps. Now, if you've ever feel like the challenges just keep coming one after another, layered one on top of another, if you feel like the evil one is eating your lunch and popping the bag, well, that's kind of a popular saying that different ministers use, eating your lunch and popping the bag. Well, if that's the way you're feeling tonight, if that's the way you're feeling in your life, then this message is for you. Because what's happening is you are allowing the evil one to have access in some way. But tonight, we're going to learn about some of those traps and about how to avoid those traps, and to be set free from the schemes and the wiles of the evil one.
Amen.
Let me give some context to this by looking at 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So notice here that it says that we are to be sober. In other words, not filled with the intoxication of the world, of anything. But instead, we are to be vigilant, to have our eyes opened, because the evil one is seeking to devour us. Let's go on now to verse 9. Whom resist steadfast. Whom resist steadfast. In the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So the response to that then is to resist. Resist the devil. Be aware of his schemes. Resist him. And then going on to verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So as we resist him, we experience God's grace to overcome the evil one and to be perfect, established with a firm foundation, to be steadfast, strengthened, set on him, settled. So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. We're going to be looking at the warfare strategies of the evil one. We're going to be looking at the traps of the enemy, the weapons that we have, the weapons of our warfare, and our attitude of warfare. Let's start by looking at the overview. If you know who you are in Christ Jesus and your spiritual weapons, and if you understand the enemy's strategies, you will be assured victory as an overcomer. To be assured victory. Notice the two parts of this, knowing who you are and what you have in Jesus, and then understanding the enemy's strategies. So tonight, the idea is to understand the enemy's strategies so that you can defeat him in your life. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The pulling down of strongholds. We have the weapons. We have Jesus in us. And when we have those two things and understand those two things, we can defeat the evil one. So let's just take a few minutes here to look at warfare strategies of Satan. You know, we have the advantage to overcome every demonic scheme in our life. It happens when we have faith in God and His Word. Then we can use those weapons and make a difference. So Satan's strategies, deception. We talked about this a few modules ago when we talked about, have you seen the parade, about the defeat of Satan, about the triumphing over him that Jesus did when he died on the cross and gave his life. And in that place of his defeat, he was totally defeated. And because he was totally defeated, all he has left is deception. That is his primary strategy, to deceive us. We've seen these verses before. We don't need to go into them in depth. We know that the thief, Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is your enemy, and he is going to do everything he can to try to destroy you, but he can't do it without your permission, because all he can do is deceive us. And it's up to us to not be deceived. That's why we need to know his strategies, to understand that he has wiles, trickery, ways of trying to lie to us and to show us things that are unreal. But we are not ignorant of his devices, his purposes, his schemes in our life. And that's one of the reasons why we have this teaching tonight. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want to be ignorant of his devices. Amen. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light to deceive. So he's looking for ways to deceive us. And if we look at end time scriptures about what it's going to be like in the last days, that's going to be one of the predominant things, the seducing spirit that will deceive people. And we need to come against that. He's blinding minds so that people can't see the truth. His lies blind them so they're not able to see. Satan, as the God of this world, blinds the minds of the unbelieving, we are told in 2 Corinthians 4:4. The serpent beguiled Eve, That's a form of blinding the minds. He deceived her, and she did not understand what was going on, and she was seduced. The evil one beguiled her through subtlety, through trickery, through sophistry, which is a fallacious argument. In other words, it's an argument that's false, but it's put together in such a way that it sounds right, but it's fallacious, it's false. And then it says there in 2 Corinthians 11, 3, it says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted." See, we don't want our minds to be corrupted, to be defiled, to be destroyed by the lies of the evil one. And then he tries to capture us through sin, lying to us, being deceitful, think in helping us or causing us to think that sin is something that we want to be part of. But we know that we don't want to do that. The devil put his thoughts into Judas's mind to betray Jesus. Satan tempts us according to our weaknesses. That verse in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5, "Defraud ye not one to the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to prayer and to fasting, and come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your incontinence," because of your lack of control. So here was a weakness that he's talking about, this lack of control, so Satan could come and tempt. So he tries to tempt us in the areas of our weakness. He tries to push our buttons, basically. So we want to get to the point where there are no buttons to push when it comes to sin in our lives. Satan walks around as a roaring lion. We just talked about that, trying to look for someone that he can devour. And we are ensnared by the devil, by sin. Taken captive of him, it tells us in 2 Timothy 2, 25-26, verses that we have looked at before. So now what I want us to do is spend some time here looking at these traps of the enemy. This is where we can easily get trapped. This is where we can easily get taken advantage of. And that's not what we want to have happen. We want in our lives to be able to see what the evil one is doing and to be able to overcome that. So let's look at some of these traps. The first trap I want to talk about is distraction. He tries to distract us from the things of the Lord. His distractions are to keep us out of the Word. We see that in Mark chapter 4. This is the story of the parable of the sower who went out to sow. And one of the places where he sowed was in the thorns. And it was in the thorns that weeds were growing up and choking out the word, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. In other words, those are things that distract. There are so many things that can distract us in this day and age. You may have one of these little devices that you may find very distracting. It's so easy to just spend time looking at all kinds of stuff, playing games, listening to music, watching videos, whatever it might be. It distracts us from time in the Word. It distracts us from time in prayer. He uses distractions to keep us out of church. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He keeps us distracted in order to keep us out of prayer, to keep us out of love. We just don't have time to minister to people like we should because we're so distracted by the things around us, by life, by responsibilities, things that we have to do, that we think we have to do. He distracts us to keep us out of obedience. How many times have you said, okay, Lord, I want to read the Bible this year, or I want to do some spiritual thing, and next thing we know, half the time, half the year has passed, and we've barely gotten out of Genesis. So when he calls us to be obedient, we need to be obedient. When he leads us and guides us, and so we need to avoid this trap of distraction. He keeps us distracted to keep us from our destiny. And this is probably one of the most important things, our destiny. See, our destiny is not built by just doing something great at some time in the future. Our destiny is built every single day. Things that we do every day, time in the Word, time in fellowship, time in worship, time in prayer, all these things are stepping stones to take us to our destiny. In order to get to the destiny that is above and beyond and further than us, we have to grow to that. And the evil one is trying to do everything that he can to distract us. So in this place of distraction, what do we need to learn? For one thing, we need to build our life around God. Build our life around God so that these distractions take a back seat. What is it that God wants you to be doing? How much time should you be spending in prayer? Well, here's another way of looking at it, is our priorities. What are our priorities? If we build our life, center our life around God and what he wants us to do, and then fill in with the other things if necessary, the responsibilities, the things that you might enjoy doing, the hobbies or whatever. But those should be secondary to seeking first the kingdom of God. Let's look at the next trap of the evil one, deceptions. He tries to deceive us. He tries to build lies into our lives. See, like I said earlier, the only thing he has to trip us up is deception, to show us things that aren't true, to try to convince us so that we follow what he wants instead of what God wants us to do. So he will bring deceptions to keep us in sin. You know, things like, oh, it's okay, you deserve it. Or, what you're doing, it's not hurting anybody. Matter of fact, it might even be seemingly helping somebody. Or, you know, some people use the excuse, well, that's just the way God made me. You know, they may be dealing with anger, they may be dealing with other types of sin. Well, that's just the way God made me. No, we need to look at what God's word says. That is how God made us. There are deceptions to keep us captured by the iniquity in our heart, our soul, our mind. 2 Timothy 2 tells us that we are our own worst enemy. And we need to understand that when we come and repent of our sins and acknowledge the sinfulness in our lives, what that does, it opens our eyes to see how the evil one has taken us into his captivity. And he has ensnared us. So we need to not let that happen, but to be always on guard. What are his deceptions in our life that are keeping us captured? What deceptions are keeping us from relying, or that keep us relying on the natural, to keep us relying on the things that we see, keep us distracted with the carnal, to keep us deceived by looking just at the things in the natural. We've talked about this before. It's so easy when there are things, that symptoms that come into our body. It's like, well, what does this mean? And what is this? And so it's easy to go in and start Googling these symptoms or call, a cousin or something and say, hey, you know, you ever hear anything about such and such? And trying to get some natural solution when we need to be not deceived by that, because that really doesn't matter. God is our healer. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and that's really what the reality is. The deceptions are to keep us in fear, to keep us fearful of the things that may come, keep us fearful of the future, keep us fearful of people, keep us fearful of situations, keep us fearful of our finances, keep us fearful of our health, whatever it might be. Those are nothing but deceptions, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. Deceptions that keep us speaking what we have instead of what we want, instead of what God's word says. So these deceptions, we need to come against these with the word of God and say, no, I am not going to speak what I have. I'm going to speak what God's word says. I'm going to speak what I want in my life. He deceives us into loving the world, into finding our pleasure and finding our comfort, and sometimes even finding our escape into the things of the world. Because sometimes it's challenging to deal with things in our life, to deal with the sins, to deal with growing in Christ and that kind of thing. It's easy just to get distracted, to get deceived into escaping into the world. And we don't want to do that. Deception to keep us in offense and unforgiveness. That is not where we want to be. We want to be loving and forgiving people. So what is the answer to this area of deception? Build your life around the Word of God. So we build our life around God to avoid the distractions. We build our life around the Word of God to avoid deceptions. Build our life around the Word of God. And the principle here is truth. What does God's Word say? What is the truth? So we are not distracted by lies. What is the next trap of the enemy? Complacency. Complacency. Let's talk a little bit about complacency. In the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it says that complacency is marked by self-satisfaction, principally when accompanied by warnings of danger or deficiency. So it's being self-satisfied. It's thinking we've got it all together. It's thinking that everything's fine, but we don't realize that there is deficiencies. We don't realize that there is danger in that place. So the evil one tries to get us into complacency in order to keep us dull of hearing. You ever had that experience of, oh no, not another sermon on this. I've heard this before. That is a symptom of being dull of hearing, of being in complacency. How about this one? Complacency to keep us hidden from our true spiritual state. Remember in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, the church at Laodicea, Jesus said of them, you think that you've got everything together. Of course, I'm paraphrasing here. That you've got everything together. You're rich, filled with goods, have everything that you need. But you're lukewarm, and I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. He says, because you don't realize that you are poor and wretched and blind. He says, I advise you, therefore, buy from me gold. Buy from me the things that are enduring. White raiment, in other words, righteousness. Walking in righteousness. Because you're wretched and poor and naked. Know that we need to understand our spiritual state. Complacency puts us in a place where we don't realize what our spiritual state is. Complacency also keeps us in disobedience. We have a hardened heart. In Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, he repeats it about 3 or 4 times. Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. No, we don't want to be in that place. So what is the answer to complacency? Build your life around humility. See, complacency is really a place of pride. I've arrived. I'm at a good place. Humility keeps us seeking after God. Humility keeps us being submitted to God. And what's the key there? It's understanding that we have a calling and a destiny. See, if you're complacent, you're not thinking about your destiny. You're not thinking about God's calling on your life. We are told in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We have been called. We have a destiny. And when we get complacent, we have set aside that call. We have set aside that destiny, because the calling, that destiny, should keep us moving towards God. So build your life around humility. We build our life around God. We build our life around the Word. We build our life around humility. Let's look at the fourth trap of the enemy. Discouragement. Discouragement. Being or feeling defeated. Feeling like it's not working. Feeling like, you know, I've tried. I've prayed. I've taken authority. I've commanded. It's just not working. The same issues still seem to keep popping up. Well, the evil one brings us into discouragement to keep us in doubt and unbelief. He keeps pointing out the things that are not going right. We need to not be caught up in his deceits. We need to understand who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us and what Jesus has done for us, so that we stay in faith and we stay in belief in him. Discouragement is, he brings discouragement in order to keep us in laziness, so that we don't follow through on the things that we need to, where we get lackadaisical about the Word, about prayer, because we're in discouragement. Discouragement is brought to keep us in depression. Well, that is not where we need to be. God has done everything that we need to lift us out of these places. So what is the answer? Build your life around faith, hope, and love. Build your life around faith, hope, and love. Faith in what God has done, a confident expectation, hope in what Jesus has done, and on love. The love of God and the love of others. And the key is trusting God. So for all of these traps of the enemy, we need to not let him deceive us in these places, in these ways. So what are some of our weapons that we have in order to defeat these traps of the evil one? First of all, understand that because of who we are in Christ and because who Christ is in us, we cannot be defeated, and we therefore should not even entertain quitting whatsoever. We just sang a song about that a little while ago. And I know that Kenneth Hagin Jr., that is his life theme. I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. And if we have that kind of attitude because of what Jesus has done for us, then we will defeat everything that the evil one brings against us. We can stand on the Word of God. We can stand on faith in that Word, on what Jesus has done, and we can be successful. We can overcome all these wiles, overcome every trap that the evil one tries to bring, overcome every deceit, everything he throws against us, against our body, against our minds, against our spirits, whatever he tries, we can overcome because we have weapons, powerful weapons of warfare. Weapons of offense. We have the sword of the Spirit to speak the Word of God. We have the blood, we have the name of Jesus. And we can use that name in power with our authority to overcome the evil one and to send him going. Remember what the Scripture says. We submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Run in terror from us. We have the blood of Jesus, which we use to speak to satanic beings and strongholds in our life. We have the prayer of affirmation, declaring the truth of God's words. Basically the same thing as the sword of the Spirit. We confirm, affirm over and over all the things that Jesus has done for us. We have prayer of binding, a prayer of loosing the will of God into our life and binding Satan and his works from our life. We have the ability to cast the evil one out. We have the authority to cast demons, devils, and evil spirits out of our bodies, out of our lives, out of our finances, and out of our homes and businesses and whatever else that we may be involved in. We can take that authority and cast the evil one out. As we deal with sin in our life and understand what the evil one has been trying to bring and do through our life and take us captured by, we then, as we recognize those things, we break those curses as we've learned in this semester, and we cast the evil one out of our bodies and out of our lives. And we have the weapon of worship, of praise, of praising the Lord, because praise stills the avenger in our lives. We have weapons of defense. We have the shield of faith. Because we believe God's word, we have faith in what God has said. We believe his word. It becomes a shield of faith to block every fiery dart of the evil one. We've got the confession of sins, receiving the forgiveness that is ours, which we follow up with repent and renouncing and breaking the hold of the evil one on our lives. We have the blood of Jesus, which is used to cover us and to cover our loved ones. So we see the blood of Jesus both as a weapon of offense and a weapon of defense. We have, again, the prayer of affirmation,
also offense and defense, by agreeing with God's promises and that are in our salvation package. We have the weapon of breaking curses. So important. Sin brings curses into our life. So we break those curses in our life, and that helps to set us free. Again, we have a weapon of worship used to put oneself in alignment and in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, we have a place of defense in that secret place of the Most High. We also have strategic weapons. Now, these are weapons that are part of our lifestyle, that are foundational. That's why they're strategic, because they're foundational. They set us up for victory. So we have studying the Word, studying the Bible, because that is a basis of our transformation to be more like Jesus, is the Word of God. So we study the Word. We attend church on a regular basis. Might be by internet, it might be in person, but we attend church on a regular basis and fellowship with those that are around us. And remember what that the Word says there in Hebrews chapter 10, is we should be doing it all the more as we see the day approaching, the day of Jesus. So in these end days, church and the fellowship and the encouragement of one another is important. We have the strategic weapon of taking communion frequently. Communion reminds us of what Jesus has done. And as we take his body and take his blood, it helps to set us free from the wiles of the evil one. It's a powerful weapon. Praying in tongues to build ourselves up in the Lord. Again, another powerful weapon. We recommend, as we've mentioned over and over again, a minimum of an hour a day just in praying in tongues. And then while you're conducting your life, you're doing things that allows it, pray in tongues. While you're working, doing dishes, whatever kind of things that you're doing. Put on the full armor of God. We had two sessions on the armor of God and what the armor of God does for us. It's that way of understanding what Jesus has done and walking into it. We have the foundational things that we have, foundational armor of God, and we have the armor of God that then we take up. So you can go back and look at that module that we did on the armor of God. We also have the prayer of faith. Now remember, all of this that we're talking about, our standing against the evil one, our authority that we take, is all based on the prayer of faith. In other words, we pray it, we speak the word, we command, we take authority, whatever it might be, but we always do it by faith, knowing that it has been done, we believe it, and we stand on it. So that, let's say you take authority over a pain in your body. You say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this pain in my knee. I command it to go now in Jesus' name. Well, that pain, there's a choice that could be done. There's three things that can happen when you do that. One is the pain goes. Praise the Lord. That's what we want. The other is it increases. Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment. The other one is it stays the same. So what is going on? Well, of course, when it's gone, it's gone. Praise the Lord. When it increases, that means there's other demonic influences going on there. So maybe we take authority not just over the pain, but the demons, devils, and evil spirits behind it, the spirit of infirmity. And if it stays the same, it stays the same. And you know what we do? That's when we affirm. Thank you, Father. I've taken authority over this pain. I thank you that it is going in the name of Jesus. I stand on the word of God. So we believe that it's been done, and we stand on the word. So the prayer of faith, the concept of standing in faith, takes place in every one of these things that we do. The prayer of agreement, of agreeing with others, of getting others to agree with us about a challenge situation in our lives. The prayer of authority, of taking authority in the name of Jesus over certain situations in our life. And I tell you what, these things work. If you feel like your life is, and the evil one is in your life, eating your lunch and popping the bag, these are some things to begin to do, to take authority over the evil one in these areas, to make sure that you are incorporating these strategic weapons into your life. And of course, fasting, at least on a weekly basis. Giving up, fasting, laying your life before the Lord in fasting. So all of these strategic weapons, it keeps us in the kingdom of God and keeps us in the anointing, because it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. It is in the kingdom of God that we find victory over our enemies. In this case, over the evil one in our life. Let's look now at attitudes of warfare. This is really important. This is where we have that attitude that I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. See, we have in us all of God. And we need to understand who Christ is in us. We have a powerhouse in us. We cannot be defeated. It's just the way it is, and we just need to believe it. We are a child of God. We are ones who have a Father. And having a Father as a son is an incredible understanding. When we understand that because of that, we can be manifested sons of God. In other words, manifesting all the rights and privileges and responsibilities of our sonship. It's a powerful understanding. And of course, we have the power of God in us, like I just mentioned. Because of who Christ is in us, then we also need to know and walk in who we are then in Christ Jesus. We have a treasure in earthen vessels. We are the earthen vessels, but in us is a treasure. And when we allow that treasure to come out, see, that's who we are. We are that earthen vessel, but we have this treasure. We allow the treasure to come out of our lives. Understanding that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We govern with Him. We have rule and authority with Him. And in that place of being seated with Christ, we are far, far, far above every principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named. Amen. We have that authority because of who we are in Christ. And we need to take that attitude. And that goes right along with having that never giving up attitude. In Ephesians chapter 6, after we put on the armor of God, it says, and having done all, stand. That is a stance. That is a stance of readiness, a stance of offense, taking offense against the wiles of the evil one. Having done all to stand, stand, therefore. And so we just stand. That is an attitude that we need to have. Another one is ardent zeal and intense effort to seize the benefits of the kingdom. From Matthew chapter 12, verse 11. A wonderful verse about seizing the kingdom of God as those who seek it with ardent zeal and intense effort. And that's exactly the kind of attitude that we need to have. See, we cannot be defeated. And we need to take authority over the evil one. Don't let him deceive us. Don't give in to the deceptions of distractions in our life. Don't give in to the deceptions that keep us in sin and all these other things. Don't give in to complacency. And don't let him trap us with discouragement. So we need to build our life around God. Build our life around the Word of God. Build our life around humility. And build our life around faith, hope, and love. Understand our priorities. Understand the truth of God's Word. Understand our calling and our destiny. And understand that we need to trust, put our trust in God. Because we cannot be defeated, and we will not quit.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for all that Jesus has done for us. We thank you, Father, that because of who we are in Christ Jesus, who Christ Jesus is in us, and for all that you've provided for us, every weapon, we thank you, Father, as we know then the wiles and the deceits and the traps of the evil one, we thank you, Father, that therefore we will be victorious. And we put Satan on notice that you cannot have us, you cannot have our lives, you cannot have our destinies, you cannot have anything about us, because we put our trust in Jesus. We put our trust in what God has done for us. And you must flee in Jesus' name from our lives. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you all in Jesus' name.